All right, we're back. It's High One in the A, and we're in the Kia Studios, and we got our boy, Jason Longshore. He's the radio analyst for Atlanta United, who come off a rock star season. Of course, it fell short, but they were amazing with the attendance and, you know, people winning awards, the marketing director winning an award, the GM won Executive of the Year, and all that good stuff. And Jason, we say hello. How you doing?
Hola. What's up, guys?
So the question is, are you now a rock star? You're covering a rock star team. You're in Mercedes-Benz. There's 70,000 crazy soccer fans in there. And you and Adam Schick are the dudes telling everybody what's up. Are you a rock star now?
It's crazy. I went to Terminalia, Terminus Legion's kickoff event on the weekend, and it was so cool just to catch up with people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not used to going in, and everybody knows who I am. I don't know all the faces.
Sure.
Just talking soccer. Very cool. Very cool that we're here now. You know, I mean, I would have never guessed last year at this time that it would be this big right now with all the expectations of the season.
Now, LeBron James wrote a letter to himself kind of congratulating himself before actually having an accomplishment. Do you have a Jason Longshore letter tucked away somewhere back as a youth getting you to this moment?
No, not really. It was actually cool last year ahead of the Benz opening up. MLS reached out to me to write kind of my thoughts on it. And the first draft I wrote was like a letter to myself as a kid when I fell in love with the game.
Really?
And yeah, it was 86. So, I mean, we didn't have a pro league. As a kid, I didn't know why we didn't have a pro league. You know, I was a Falcons fan. I was a Braves fan. I had the Steve Bartkowski jersey. I had a Dale Murphy jersey. I had a Glenn Hubbard glove. But I wanted that for soccer.
That's awesome. What a blast from the past.
Glenn Hubbard glove. That was my Little League glove.
That's beautiful. Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the whole topic of beer bonging came up earlier.
I haven't, in probably
25 to 30 years, done a beer bong successfully or at all. And they were saying, you know, with one of the support groups, maybe we could get you down, whether it's Footy Mob or one of those things. I would absolutely love to go to an awesome tailgate with one of the support groups in advance of going to an awesome game at the Benz and try to do a beer bong or several beer bongs and then hit the Uber tab and go home. Like, can we make that happen?
Yeah, we can definitely make that happen. Footy Mob, Terminus Legion, Faction, Resurgence, I know all those guys will take care of you guys.
Do all of them beer bong?
I don't know which ones are high on the beer bong charts, to be honest.
We can bring our own beer bong.
Yeah,
you don't need
you guys
beer
can
bongers.
Bring the party.
Yeah, that's what you do. Now, you've been had a chance to be around him. Now, I know when you go down to a match, you're there for professional reasons, so you cannot partake early on with the pint of beer or anything like that. Which supporter group have you seen that just gets it in the most?
They all do in different ways. That's what's cool about it, is they all kind of have their own flavor. So what I would recommend is you go down to the Gulch where they're all tailgating, and you hop around.
Okay.
And you go and hang out with everybody because they all have their own personality.
So you mentioned different flavors. Anybody rocking the OG Kush among the support? Anyway, we have Jason Longshore.
I can't talk about that one.
Wait, next question. We have Jason Longshore, Atlanta United.
Not legal yet.
I just say that to get Mark Owen shaking his head, and it worked again. Okay, so let's talk about these huge moves, man, in terms of Nagby and Barco coming here. What's this mean for the team?
Look at it. You were the number four team in MLS last year in the overall standings, and now you're adding potentially three new starters to that group. That says that fourth isn't good enough. Fourth overall out of 22 wasn't good enough for Arthur Blank, for Darren Eales. So you go out and you add Franco Escobar. Had a chance to meet him yesterday. Really like what he's going to bring to the table at right back. More of a true right back as opposed to converting someone to play there. That's the lowest profile of the three starters that are coming in. Darlington Nagby, U.S. national team, one of the most technically gifted players in Major League Soccer, one of the best passers in the league. He doesn't give away possession easily, and he's going to be great in transition. And as we've seen with this team, they want to break quickly. And then Ezequiel Barco is special. You just don't see players like this come around every day. Forget what he gives you as a player, the technical side. For an 18-year-old kid to be taking penalties in continental championship matches on the road, there's just not a comparison for that in our sports. There's just not one in American sports.
If you were making a comparison for Barco to other sports, and I've seen guys try to compare him baseball-wise, would he be like Ronald Acuna maybe for the Braves, an up-and-coming kid that you think's going to be a star? Is he like a LeBron James in basketball, a guy that you know is going to be great at the next level, or is he somewhere in between there?
He's somewhere in between. It's tough because, you know, he's won a continental championship, played a big role with Independiente, but he's only been playing at the top flight for about a year and a half. If I'm comparing him to anyone from Atlanta, it's Andrew Jones. When Andrew Jones, you know, burst onto the scene in 96, this is Barco right now. This is Barco coming off of the World Series performance going into the 97 season. That's what you can expect.
That is awesome, dude. And the fact that – so and I have a few questions for you here, but I just want to follow up generally. Yeah. So fourth last year, you make these upgrades – so it is literally all chips in the middle of the table for a championship right now. That's what we're talking about,
100%.
Right?
100%. That was the question yesterday when I was at the training ground for Miguel Almirón, for Tito Villalba. You know, what are the goals? Championship. They want to win the league. That's what they're here for. That's what this team is built to do.
Now, I read something about Miguel. I think it was Miguel Almirón, potentially with citizenship and something, and that may change where his money goes. How does that work? Because I don't understand the international side, the American side, the homegrown side. Like, where does that go, and how does that affect the team?
So with it's Tito.
It's Tito, okay.
Tito Villalba got his green card.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does for Atlanta United is it allows them to open up an international slot. And with the additions they've brought in, they were looking pretty full on that side. They were going to have to either get green cards or trade for more international slots. That's a big help for roster construction.
That's awesome. And I want to ask you, Jason Longshore, radio analyst for Atlanta United, a.k.a. Rockstar, in with Rick Hamlin and John Michaels here in the Kia Studios. And by the way, next, in about 15 minutes, we are all going to congratulate ourselves, like LeBron James did yesterday on Instagram. So we all took the time to write up a little soliloquy congratulating ourselves. We're excited about that. So talk to me how long Nagby and how long Barco will or might be with Atlanta United.
I think Nagby's here for a while. He's been an MLS guy for his whole career. He's a little bit older. I don't know if Europe or another club is going to come calling for him. Barco's a special case. You know, he's an 18-year-old who is among the best teenagers in the world. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if he came here and just had a rock star type of season, lights it up, wins a trophy, and then a huge offer comes in. Also wouldn't surprise me if he's here for a couple of years. At his age, he has time. He doesn't have to rush into a deal. And that's the big change for him. You have to think back to where he's coming from. He's coming from a club on his rookie deal where he wasn't making much money. Now he's made money on the transfer part of it. He got a chunk of that from Independiente.
What kind of chunk does he get? Because it was, what, $15 million that Atlanta United ends up paying?
It's been reported anywhere between $1.5 and $2 million. But Barco actually donated $800,000 back to Independiente to build some extra training fields at the training ground in Independiente. Really cool thing for him to do after that transfer got a little contentious. But you're looking at a kid who now is his first big contract. You know, we don't know what the terms are going to be yet, but you're expecting Miguel Almirón, Joseph Martinez type of money, $1 million plus. And for a kid coming from a poor neighborhood in Rosario, Argentina, that's a game changer. That's a life changer for him and his family. So I don't think he's in a point now where he needs to rush to go to Europe. And he's playing for one of the best managers in the world, and Tata Martino is going to make him better.
Jason Longshore with us in studio here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, breaking down Atlanta United, the offseason, all that good stuff. I've read stuff that this is a game changer for MLS, not just Atlanta United, but the way teams may now approach filling out their rosters.
Let's look at what's happened from last year to this year. Last year, Atlanta changes the game with Miguel Almirón, $8 plus million to bring him in. This year, you see Orlando go get Josue Colman from Paraguay. You see Jesus Medina go to NYCFC for $5-6 million. Those are moves directly in response to Almirón coming. These are players who specifically said, I watched what Miguel did. I want to go there too. Now, this is kicking it up another notch.
Mm-hmm.
This is double that type of money. And if Barco comes here and has the season that we expect with his talent, you're going to see that next level top young talent from South America say, MLS can make me better. That's where I'm going to go.
Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John. Who did we lose this offseason? So we've talked about, and those are the three biggest gets, right? The ones that we, okay, so did we lose anybody?
Yamil Assad is the biggest loss from what he gave you from a production standpoint, and Barco will be replacing him. It is an upgrade. It is an upgrade, but That also creates pressure for a young player, you know, because Yamil Asad is a fan favorite. Atlanta United fans loved Yamil Asad. First goal in club history. I mean, how can you not? Extremely hard worker. Barco is a better player, but he has to perform to that level now. And I think this is where, you know, we kind of grow up as a soccer city, because now you're seeing maybe the little bit of the honeymoon period wear off. And if Barco gets off to a slow start, you're going to hear from fans, why didn't we bring Asad back? So it does create some pressure. He can handle it. He's been through this type of stuff before. But that's good for a young player. It's going to push him to play better.
I know soccer supporters can be fanatical. We've seen that. We've seen the growth, obviously, here in Atlanta. Do they have the same – and I don't want this to come across as, you know, going in on them. But are they the same type of – are they as delusional as football fans are? Because we have Falcon fans right now that everybody on the roster sucks in their eyes. Is it the same way with Atlanta United supporters?
Yeah, every fan base is different. I don't think we have that here yet. Luckily, because, you know, I've heard all the Falcons talk too after everything, and it's like, trade everybody. Let's just start over. No.
Fire Quinn. Fire the – yeah, it's ridiculous.
No. And luckily, that was not the conversation after the playoffs last year. But over time, and I think that's why Falcons fans are that way, is this has been a long time coming. They're hungry. And if Atlanta United doesn't get over the hump to win trophies soon, you'll get some of that.
We want the champagne. We want the parade. We want the excitement, the let yourself go nuts and party like it's 99. Come on, Atlanta United. I mean, literally, I'm sorry. God bless lacrosse. That ain't moving my needle, man. But if Atlanta United were to win the MLS championship, this town would be turned inside out, and it would be amazing. I want to see it. So training camp started earlier this week. Give me some updates, and John and our great listeners here on the home of Atlanta United, some updates from the first couple of days of camp.
So it's early days. It's a lot of fitness work right now. It's just a lot of getting guys in, like Escobar, into the country. Barco's not here yet, still getting his visa. He's probably going to join the club in Orlando next week. They'll be down there, a little bit warmer weather for a couple weeks. Then the first preseason match is Nashville, February 10th. Great opportunity for Atlanta United fans to get up there for that. Mm-hmm. It's already sold out. Tickets were expensive for a preseason match. 10,000 plus early February. Like, it's just a whole nother level at this point. But right now, the big stories for me, Tata Martino is saying that he's looking at going with three center backs at different times this season. I want to see how that looks. I want to see shape, how it works, then the personnel. And now you have some serious competition for starting spots. Adding Nagby, Carmona, Larenowitz, who plays out of that three on a regular basis, probably only two of them. You know, is Escobar locked down the right back job? Today out of camp, Julian Gressel says he's played in the back. He wants to start, and he's going to push wherever he can find a spot. He wants to start.
Is there any fear with this team coming up that there might be too many big dogs on the team, too many guys that really want the ball in pressure situations?
I don't think so, because when you dig into the numbers on these guys, they're all strong passers. So you get a group that will collaborate. And as the season went on last year, we saw multiple goals where it was two, three, four players involved. Right. I think this team really lends itself to that. The question I have for Tata Martino is managing the minutes. You know, do you get into a situation where some veterans get frustrated because they're not seeing the minutes they're accustomed to? It's going to be tough to earn those minutes.
So, Jason, I'm wondering if you saw this article from Fox 5 Atlanta. It says 21 hours ago, Atlanta United becoming team MLS fans love to hate. What does that mean? They've been in the MLS for 1 year. They didn't even win a playoff game. Like, how could they be a hated team?
Ooh, that started early last year because all the talk around soccer in the United States was Atlanta United. And deservedly so. I mean, when you're selling out games and you're playing that style and it's exciting and you're successful year one, the jealousy starts. And Atlanta United has kind of turned into the heel group of the league. You know, it's are they the Four Horsemen? Are they the NWO? I don't know.
You had John at heel.
No, and Mark,
you also
well.
had them at
NWO.
I saw the eyes light up, so I was like, okay, this is good.
The NWO is the greatest heel faction in the history. Rick has no clue what we're talking about.
You're talking Japanese right now.
Hogan turned to Hollywood Hogan, I would love to see Atlanta United come out one day in just the black and white jerseys. Just come out. That would be awesome.
If they come out to the theme song, and even if it's just the training kit to come out to warm up with the ATL in NWO font, yeah, I'm down with that.
Do you think we can make that happen? Can we trademark T-shirts like that?
Maybe.
Jason, is this
I'm in on this.
Yeah,
is this just petty jealousy? Or because And you're a multiple sports fan. So I think back to the Bad Boy Pistons with Laimbeer and Mahorn and Rodman and Isaiah and all these guys and how rough they were, and they would knock your butt in the paint if you tried to get a layup. They were the Bad Boys. They lived to – so they gave people a reason to hate them. They were literally not worried about injuring the players that play for your team and just laughing as they walked off the court and a guy had a broken elbow or something. That's just the way they played. Like, has Atlanta United developed a personality that is leading to some of this hate, or is it just petty jealousy?
It's a little more on the petty jealousy side, and it's hard to compare because they're new. So a lot of the jealousy is because other fan bases around Major League Soccer are looking at what Arthur Blank is doing here and look at what he's built in year one and say, why hasn't Robert Kraft done this for my New England Revolution? Why hasn't the Chicago Fire done this on a regular basis? And they're wondering how it was so easy for Atlanta to do this. You hire good people, you make the best manager hire in league history in Tata Martino, and you go out and get a team with an identity. That's what happens. Not many teams have that yet. Seattle kind of was that heel group for a long time in that everybody was jealous of Seattle because they had the fans, they had success. Atlanta's become that.
The greatest entrance music ever.
Can I seriously ask you one more question?
Yeah.
You just said Tata Martino's the best manager hire in the history of MLS.
Yes.
Like, I just can't let that go. Why?
Because you don't have Miguel Almiron. You don't have Joseph Martinez. You don't have Carlos Carmona here. You don't have Ezequiel Barco here if it's not Tata Martino. Best pedigree? What do you do with Argentina? What do you do with Barcelona? Arthur Blank decided, hey, I have a salary cap in this league. I don't have a salary cap on my manager. I can go get the best, and he did.
Jason, great stuff as always. We look forward to the upcoming season and having you in studio a bunch.
Can't wait.
You can't wait, Jason. Thank you.
Jason Longshore.